Welcome to Let's Talk Link Building. I'm your host, Aaron Anderson, and today's guest is Jacob Rudnick from Scribe. Jacob is the head of content over there, and it was really interesting. I wanted to get his perspective as a content strategist. How does he approach link building? Is it something he thinks is important? Is it something that's part of his strategy and approach to content? So it is a little different perspective. I wanted to hear from him, and he had some really interesting thoughts to share. So let's jump right into it. Thanks, Jacob, for taking some time to join me on the show.
Yeah, really excited to be here, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so to start off, if you could maybe kind of tell us, you know, what you're currently doing, and also just how you kind of got your start into the whole world of content creation, SEO, and whatnot. It'd be nice to kind of see your journey a bit.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm at Scribe. We're a roughly 40-person startup based in the Bay. It's a B2B SaaS tool. It's a free and then a pro version, obviously Chrome extension that helps you create documents much faster. So just for this audience, if you know you need to show some freelancer how to do something in Ahrefs or something in SEMrush, instead of taking screenshots, marking up screenshots, you'd hit start recording in your Scribe Chrome extension. You do the thing you want to show someone, hit stop, and it spits out a guide. So this guide has all the screenshots, they're already marked up. It has click here, type this, paste this. Like, we do all the work for you so you can get back to building links, doing SEO, whatever else. So that's what Scribe is. And I think that one, we've got to plug up the product, but two, to help you to understand like what type of SEO and links, I'm building that'll help. So I'm head of content, which I don't know, we're two people and a bunch of freelancers. So I oversee all blog creation, the link building, the blog creation. I work with a full-time editor. Have a couple part-time link builders that help occasionally. Work with a lot of freelance writers, but we're a Series A startup that everybody's doing a little bit of everything. So I'm handling link exchange emails all the way to content strategy, affiliate strategy, and stuff like that. So a little bit of everything, probably too much. And as we expand, that'll change. And then how I got started. So I'm a history major turned journalism master's, worked in TV, did freelance sports writing for the Tribune, all the Chicago Tribune. Just had no idea that this world of link building and SEO really existed at all. I guess in some journalism classes, I got the very basics of SEO. And basically, I stumbled my way into this whole thing. So 2014 or 2015, I just wanted better hours and better pay. Journalism doesn't pay well, and you work nights and weekends. So I got over to this company called G2 Crowd. I was hire number 31, I believe. Started as a content marketing specialist. Had no idea what that meant. It was a little bit of like sending cold emails, asking people to review products, writing content about our categories, and doing a lot of editing. And it just morphed into this bigger and bigger job as we grew as a company and I grew and understood some of this stuff. And kind of my moment where I went from content writer and editor to this SEO side is, our head of SEO had left, and he had been like built his career in-house. So I think like was learning on the go. Our content director had left. So all of a sudden there's this big vacuum, and G2 forever had just grown and grown and grown. And suddenly it was stagnant. Like the traffic was stagnant. We'd never built a backlink before. And the founders came up to me and one other person said, we need to do things differently. We're like, finally, we've stopped growing. Our competitors have caught up. What do we do? So that's kind of where we had to reverse engineer. How do we get backlinks? Like, what do we do? What is this? How do we create content that actually gets organic traffic? And so from there, learned really quickly, ended up leading this new content marketing team at G2, going from leading one person to leading 22 people. And now a couple stops later, I'm doing the same thing over at Scribe. So there's a lot of like little things in there we can go into, but I completely got lucky, got to a smart company who ended up needing this thing that did tie over to my journalism and storytelling background. And I've just learned it on the job. Never took a marketing class, never took a business class. Just figuring out what works and what doesn't by myself and with a couple peers. And here we are talking about link building on a podcast.
Yeah. And that's kind of the whole world of SEO, is just a bunch of different people figuring things out and then telling everyone else what they figured out. So it is kind of interesting to see that. So from someone that's, mostly looks at link building, maybe from a content perspective, I'd be interested to see kind of what you, what's your thoughts on link building, and do you actively do any sort of link building? Do you do any sort of outreach? Do you try to create content specifically with the purpose of garnering links over time? What is kind of your general approach to building links, both for kind of, I guess, in the companies you've been so far?
Yeah. So the two, I guess I've had three stops where I've been really heavily involved in link building. So G2, this company called Shortlister, which was a more niche version of G2, much smaller, 10, 15, 20 people while I was there. Now Scribe. So G2, we had an entire link building team. We created this internal content team. I had 22 content creators under me, and the link building community leader next to me, he had 6 or 7 link builders. And that was a massive team, right? Doing like amazing amounts of content creation and link building. Here at Scribe, it's me, one content editor, and a couple part-time, like a few links a month. So it's just a different scale. And ultimately, like, I would want somebody in-house, full-time, sending cold emails. But right now we don't. We don't have the resources. Again, I mentioned I'm doing affiliates and influencers and content strategy and link building, you know, and the list goes on. And so for me to spend my time building out this cold email strategy and then answering all those, like, I just don't have the resources to do that properly. We've been able to at Scribe. So we don't actively link build in that way, but we're very opportunistic. So I'm in Slack communities where there are link builders actively looking to build links, you know, with other people. That takes away all the, you know, if you send 100 cold emails to get 5 responses, I've gotten rid of those 95 people and I've got people actively looking for links right then and there. I have over this like decade of content and SEO, I have a lot of contacts, I have relationships. And so leveraging those and building content and SEO and links together makes everything easier. And, you know, now that we have our blog, we started publishing basically on May 1st, and now we have 25,000 or so monthly visitors from zero. Like, now all of a sudden people were popping up in, you know, Ahrefs alerts and whatever else people are using, and we're getting all those cold emails. So I can leverage a percentage of those into link opportunities for us. And so I've been really kind of passive in a way. Like, I don't go out to other people basically ever, unless there's a very specific link we need. But enough comes internally to us that we're able to, I don't know, we have something 400, 450 referring domains to our blog in 6 months. And it's basically all been passive, opportunistic link building. So that's where I am, but that's mostly a resource thing, right? If we got a Series B or Series C and it's massive and we keep growing, we'll hire link builders. But as of right now, that's where we are.
Sure. And so it sounds like you mostly do kind of link exchanges then with other people that are looking for to kind of do some exchange. And do you have any sort of gauge of like, oh, I don't want to do too many of these, or I just do it based on like relevance or quality, or kind of how do you, I guess, maybe measure risk in terms of like doing link exchanges?
I'm sure I'm more maverick than almost everybody else, but if the quality of the other website is high enough, the link that I'm adding to my content is in context, relevant, and again, like a high quality site, and then the link that's coming back is the same, I don't see that there's that much risk. Like, if we're hiring these freelance writers, we probably should have somewhere between 4 and 10 outgoing links anyway. So are all of these links to like deep research reports? No, but there's other what is or educational content that can make sense in our articles. For me, it's that there's no clear threshold, but like understanding, does this link make sense in the article that someone's asking you to add it to? Is the link high enough? And so from there, as long as, you know, an article doesn't have 20, 25 links and it's just a link every few words, like, then we're okay. So it's about keeping our content looking natural, making sure that the link's in context. Like, the feedback I give most to a link builder who's not, you know, I'm turning down is, this link doesn't make sense. If someone's going to click on this link, the reader would be surprised to end up here. You know, if it's on, like, you'll get the anchor of like, get more traffic, and then it's a link building agency in Australia or something. Like, nobody would expect that, and it wouldn't do anything for the reader. So the link has to have value for the reader. And as long as we do that, the number of links, I'm sure there's a threshold that, again, with a bigger team and deeper analysis, we'd be able to do. But I think people are really scared to add links to their content. And if the link is helping your content, like, Google appreciates it. It shows your research, frankly. It shows that you are like linking to quality sites and relevant sources. And like, Google uses that to understand what your content's about. So I actually think it's helpful. When I see a site that doesn't link externally, it's just an odd thing for me. And I think Google, like, the way that I've built content and traffic is when I have outgoing links, things work better as long as they're quality and relevant. So that's where I'm at. Yeah. And so that's a big bulk of it. Obviously, we would love to be getting more inbound links than going outbound, right? And there's different ways to do that. But right now, this has been a great way to jumpstart our content and our traffic, and Google's rewarded us for it.
Sure. Yeah. I sometimes when I have clients that are really hesitant about link exchanges, I say, well, I've done a lot of outreach, and the sites that care most about their SEO, most of them, those are the ones they will do. They won't charge you for link, but they're totally fine with link exchanges. So the best sites on the internet, they all are quite open to link exchanges if you're a good site and you can fit things in naturally.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you from like the last 6 months of this like massive sprint that I've been doing, like sites like G2, where I used to work, but now, you know, don't have as many connections, they're exchanging links with me. HubSpot is exchanging links with me. Like these sites that everyone looks to as like massive, awesome content sites are exchanging links because it works, because it's fine. So people are like so scared of it. I mean, I can pull up my spreadsheet and there's just an awesome list of, you know, SaaS companies that are exchanging links that have hundreds of thousands of monthly organic visitors, and it's okay. So yeah, I think it's like a hard thing to overcome. How many emails have you gotten, Aaron, that are like, we don't exchange links because Google will knock us for it? It's like, they don't. So don't worry about it as long as you do it right.
Yeah, you don't get that very much. But I think generally if people don't want to do a link, they just ignore you. So they don't raise too many objections. But so I'm curious also to hear kind of, you know, so you try to leverage a lot of these like link exchanges from the beginning. What about like when you're kind of like starting out and like, I don't know, have you been ascribed from the beginning where you guys had zero referring domains, and how do you kind of get the ball kind of rolling? Because you can do link exchanges from the very beginning and that can kind of get, but you don't want that to be the only thing you're doing. So how do you kind of get some like positive movement? Because in the beginning, when you don't have a lot of, it's harder to get your things to rank, it's harder to get links naturally. What do you kind of do to get some of those in that initial traction?
For sure. So I started, and I'd have to go to Ahrefs, but we're somewhere in the 37 or 38 domain authority when I came in. One, we'd spend a little bit of money and effort on PR and, you know, our CEO going on podcasts and things. So we just had some natural link equity that helped. And the other thing is these guides that, you know, our product creates, they can be private guides that you share internally, but they can also be external facing public URLs. So our guides get linked to in domains all the time. Like before I started, I remember looking up the domain on Ahrefs and the UN linked to one of our guides, like how to log into some portal. And so we just have a product that naturally helps our domain authority and things. So I'm definitely luckier than some of these like startup CEOs and CMOs that I'm talking to. They're like, we're at one, how do we get to 30 even? You know, so for us, there's like a little sprint of getting listed on a bunch of directories, like a G2, Capterra. Let's get into all these places where we naturally can get some high domains linking to the site, you know, doing some earlier exchanges, like the exchanges, if you go to the top of my like exchange spreadsheet, you know, we're exchanging with 30, 40, 50s early on, and now we're exchanging with 60s, 70s, 80s. So it's a matter of just do what it takes to get bigger and bigger domains. And some people who turned me down, you know, 3 or 4 months ago are coming back to me. And sometimes even like we're able to get two links for one because our domain has risen so quickly. So it's a little bit of everything. I definitely would, you know, if you have these networks, if you're in these Slack communities, you can often find people with similar domain authorities. If you're at zero, it's going to be tough. Do these little scrappy things, right? Like get added to listing sites, get like tweet about your content so it gets like aggregated into a bunch of different places, right? Like do these little things that don't actually help your SEO that much, but do help your Ahrefs and SEM rating scores so people will be more willing to exchange. And then just kind of stack your growth from there and exchange bigger and bigger sites.
Sure. And so, and how do you kind of, I guess when you're reaching out to these larger sites that they, oftentimes people only want to do an exchange with someone they kind of deem to be like of similar size or whatnot. So how do you kind of, you know, is that like an obstacle you have to kind of convince people, or, you know, is it more like if there's a relationship, they're willing because they kind of just trust that like you're doing well, or how do you kind of get people that are bigger than you to kind of link to you?
Yeah, it's a mix. You know, if you have friends or acquaintances or whatever, someone you've built with before, you're on a new site, like often people do that favor, like stretch their limitations a little bit more. You know, the other side is like if it's a cold outreach or someone comes inbound and they say, no, we don't exchange with someone under this authority, like it is what it is, and send more emails or talk to more people and move on to the next one. Maybe save them for when you do cross the threshold. I definitely have like a tab in my spreadsheet of people that to reach out to when we reach 70 or 80 or whatever it is, because they wouldn't talk to us before. You know, sometimes you can offer other things. Like I think the most common one that it doesn't really work, but you can do other things, but like people offer, we'll share it on social media. So you probably don't have a big social platform, but I've seen, there's a really good podcast I listen to, someone sharing like, we'll offer our SEO for your podcast, or you can come on our podcast, like, or, you know, we'll create this template for you, like just offering to do something else that will add to their content. Often if you find like something that can improve their content, like people will take you more seriously. Like you've done them a favor, you've offered them, you've shown them three broken links or something. So I've had luck that way, but it's way more on the being personalized than just that same cold template. You know, if you do the same cold template, it doesn't work, just move on to the next one. But if you're more on like the ABM style of link building, where you're really trying to figure out like, what does Aaron need for Aaron's site? Like then you can make some inroads just by being a person and showing that you're real and you'll help somebody else out. But ultimately, the relationships work really well, the personalization works, and often you'll still be turned on.
Sure. Now, when a site is kind of just starting, just brand new, there's sometimes like this chicken and this egg dilemma of like, okay, do you build links first so that when you publish new content, it'll show up somewhere? Or do you like kind of publish content first and then like, so at least you have something to share and get links back to? Like from a content perspective, how do you kind of look at that question and what would you kind of suggest for like a brand new site?
Yeah, great question. I would immediately start publishing that content, like get it indexed, get it ranking, like get it even scraped at all is a battle up front. So I'd publish, I don't know what the right number would be exactly, and it'll depend on your niche, but that 20 to 30 articles, like one or two really tight clusters that really show some authority on your site. I mean, if someone wants to exchange links with you and comes to an empty blog or two blogs that, you know, just aren't relevant, or maybe like your Series A funding announcement or something, like there's going to be nothing to exchange, but 30 blogs can give both the appearance of authority to someone looking at your site and also to Google. Like you need content to show that authority. And, you know, when we first started publishing, I had to go to Search Console to get everything indexed. And I sometimes had to do it 2, 3, 4 manual indexing requests. But over the first month or two, suddenly that's going away. Things are indexing on their own. So just get that process going. You know, getting that jump started is slow. You can still have, even with no links, even with a small domain, if you find the right niche, like really long tail keywords, like, and stuff does get indexed, you can pick up those keywords. You can even get to page one without links right away. You know, some of that content that I'd want to publish in my first and second month would be that really long tail stuff that doesn't have competition, that maybe has, you know, the competition is maybe one link, like where you could actually get traction right away. So I would publish first. That gives you something to build links to, and it like gets you started on that like content timeline, that indexing timeline. And then I'd go into the links and see what's there. Sometimes just publishing will get you some inbound emails, right? People, again, setting up those alerts for sites publishing about certain content. So you might get some inbound connections anyway, and that'll help you.
Sure. I guess when you're starting and you have limited resources also to like create content, I guess, you know, there's this dilemma too. Do you try to create content that's purely for like ranking purposes, or do you create content that, you know, you either have the idea that this will generate links on its own, like a linkable asset? And how do you kind of prioritize that between, okay, well, we got to create some content that'll actually rank on its own, or let's create this content that both we think could rank on its own, but it could also generate links. And I guess just kind of take me through kind of your thought process there and kind of how you decide between which content to prioritize.
Yeah, so far I've done not zero linkable assets. Like we have templates and checklists and things, but we don't have that like original research study, or we have a couple of statistics articles, but I haven't spent the time to like get those to number one or something. And I think those are two of the classic examples on the linkable assets, right? Getting something to number one for those organic links is its own battle often, right? Unless there's nothing there and somehow there's high demand. And that's just really hard to find at this point. So unless you know there's something, like if you have the idea and you've done this playbook before, I would do that, of course. Like I would want something to go really far and get a ton of links. And you know, maybe it's not something that there's organic demand for, but you know in the market that this will work, whether that's that original research and you have the playbook for doing outbound to get links to it, then you can do that. But if you don't have that playbook, like I wouldn't start from scratch, and because it's so many moving parts, it's a lot of effort to get something like an original research study created. You know, you need the people to interview, you need the time to set that up, you need the PDF, you need the design. Like there's just so many different assets. It's a big bet for an early website. just a huge amount of your resources on content creation for one piece. Yeah, I would go the route of like cheaper freelancers publishing high quality blogs to get that just domain authority up and build some links over to that. But you could have that great piece in mind, like something that you feel really strongly about because of your past experiences and what you know about your market, and have the outreach playbook. Like if you do have those pieces, obviously getting that to like drive those organic links over the next like 5 years of your company, the earlier you can do that, the better. So we haven't done it because I didn't know what that would be. That would both drive links and business demand for Scribe. I know that better now. So it's something we're looking into for 2023. How do we create a bunch of those on top of this organic engine? For us, you know, we have this awesome report and no organic audience to our blog. I have to go outbound for every single visitor, right? Like it's something without a distribution channel. Now that I have 25, 30, 50, you know, by the end of the year, 1,000 monthly visitors, it's a piece that I can put in front of every reader to our blog. So I just think the work that you do with those pieces that don't have a distribution channel built in, the value will just go much further if you build your organic audience first. So I build the educational content with known traffic first, get that going, and then I build these more like resource intensive pieces later.
Sure. And it sounds like you still do create some of these maybe linkable assets like stat pages or something, but that are relatively easy to execute and that could still also bring in organic traffic. But if it's resource intensive, then you just kind of put it on the shelf. So, you know, is there anything else besides like just general stats pages that are maybe kind of, I guess, anything informational, I guess, is also like informational content stats pages that kind of align and can do both?
Yeah. So the stats pages are interesting because we haven't done them at Scribe, but I did those actually. That was like one of my first plays at Shortlister to get those going. So it's myshortlister.com. If you look at like all their referring domain pages, like it's their category pages and then these stats. What really worked for us over there to take a half step back was like finding pieces where there was a little bit of like a green pastures, like they're in wellness and mental health and stuff. And I was working there during the pandemic. So there's a lot of like great resignation stats and things that people were talking about, but people hadn't created the stats for. And I was like, this is the thing that journalists are looking up right now. They're literally writing these like really catchy, like keyword driven topics. So we just created those lists and they've actually been really good. But there was no demand for them when I started, but it was like something you couldn't go to Ahrefs for, but you had to know the industry for. So that worked really well. And to your point, much lower resource lift than that original research. You know, G2, our big plays were stats pages and then just answering questions like in a niche. So the one that I remember, and I think you kind of mentioned this, but we just like created, I think, like, how much do YouTubers make? It was just one of these that like we were talking about. I'd probably like around the lunch tables or something. Like literally, like, how much do they make? And you're like, everybody's trying to make money on YouTube or these different places. So we created stuff like that. Like the Washington Post linked to that at some point. Like journalists are pretty lazy and they just like look up they literally Google something, find the first thing. Is it a reputed site? Yes, reputable site. Link to it. So we had a ton of links from that. Like if you look at our customer reviews statistics to G2, it's like 1,500 referring domains. We never built any links to that. It's just all inbound. So they can be really good if you find a hot topic. Again, like Shortlister was like diversity and inclusion, the great resignation, things like that. Again, like these topics that people are talking about a ton, if you find those trends. And then the other one at G2 that I really like is what's your industry? And like, then you can niche down, but then plus the word trends. And especially if you publish those in like November and December before like the end of the year and people start reading them, those are huge link drivers. We did this big trend series at G2, same thing where I forget what it was, maybe like our digital twins article or something, but the Atlantic linked to it. Like we didn't do any outbound to the Atlantic and they were just doing research for this like trends, like some sort of tech trends, and found G2's trends. And we were the only one who had done this specific trend. And so if you find that, like big news publications will link over. So trends, statistics, and then just answering those basic questions that people are asking around a topic, like what or how much do YouTubers make? Those are like three topical themes that have worked really well for me.
So I'm curious to know, you know, since you're kind of come at this from a pure content perspective, you know, in the past there used to be like PR, people just did PR and maybe they didn't actually understand the importance of the links, and maybe also on the content side, they just want to do the content and maybe didn't understand the links. Obviously, like today, you kind of have to understand the importance of links and how they kind of interplay. Do you find that a lot of people that are just like content strategists in content, that they have a similar focus to you that like they understand the links and they want to like make sure that that is something they're taking into consideration? Or is there still a lot of people that are, they just want to build the content and they don't want to like think about the links at all?
Yeah, there are plenty of people that are missing one of these buckets, right? I think that's what's where there's a wild opportunity. If you understand, if you're a content strategist, but understand how links fit in, like that's what I think I do and where I can add a lot of value is like, I can understand why one of my pieces isn't working. Is it the content? Is it the links? Is it like how everything's working on the site? Is it something technical? Having enough of that general knowledge has just like up-leveled me in my career. You know, G2, we had a PR person making a ton more money than we were who was doing PR and wouldn't ask someone to add a link if they did an interview. It's like, we just can't do it as PR people. And every time I've ever asked anybody to add a link, they just do it. Like, it's not a problem, but it was hurting G2 from an SEO standpoint. This person was making like decent six figures to not do their job. And the same thing, like we had great content and research people that just were absolutely scared of like caring about links and even content marketers. I know people that are in good content roles that will tell you links don't matter. I'll be in a Slack community. I'll be on LinkedIn and see these things. And like, it's not the be all end all. I don't like link building isn't my passion, but link building gets me people to my content. It helps my ranking. Like it helps me fight those battles and like the SERPs, and without them, like we wouldn't be where we are. So you have to do links, but you have to understand why you're building links, what the point of each link is, why you're building a link to this page and not this, what, you know, anchor text you're building from. And like, if you have a site, how to choose what to link over to from your site. Like it's a lot of different things that you have to understand. And it's, most people are missing a couple of those cogs. So we'll understand bits and pieces, but not that whole strategy and how it all creates this big flywheel. I'm sure there's pieces that I'm missing too and can get better at, but like, no matter which bucket you take, everybody's missing a little bit of something generally. And it's still surprising that people will say link building doesn't matter. Link building is dead. Like literally link building is how Google understands the internet. And so it helps Google. Like links are always going to be weighed because it shows Google how to crawl, what's relevant, what's the most important and best content. So it's just naive to think that link building is going away or not valuable.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. This has been really interesting to dive into, you know, kind of how you view link building and kind of how you approach it from a content perspective. If someone wants to get in touch with you, what would be the best way?
Yeah, just find me on LinkedIn, always chatting over there, whether it's, you know, posting, but just answering DMs, comments, whatever else. Like it's, I'm the one content strategist person over here and the only person doing link building. So I learn exclusively on LinkedIn at this point. And so I would love to chat with other people, exchange links, build together, whatever it is. So that's the best way to find me for sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Jacob. It's been really fun.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron.